Blog Talk Radio.
That friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Amen.
David said, even when my mother and father have, forsaken me, the Lord will take me up. Anyway, there's always a lot of need for the Lord's help and the Lord's grace. I talked to a pastor today that I'll be with just for a service here soon, which I'm with him many times when I'm traveling through his area. And he said, they're going through some mighty trouble waters there. He said, y'all pray for us. And said, when you come, just bring something that'll help us and encourage us. So that's what I told him. This will be bathed in prayer. Brother Rampley. That's that preacher's name. Brother Rampley. Let's pray for him right now. So, Lord, we pray for Brother Rampley and his wife and for that dear church family. We pray you administer grace to them in this very, very present hour. I pray that you'd intervene for them. I pray, Lord, that you'd show yourself mighty and strong and give them consolation and give them, Lord, a season of refreshing and bless us. We would endeavor to go there in a few weeks from now. And, Lord, that you'd help us to be a means of blessing and encouragement to the saints there. And we just thank you and pray now you'd bless this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's look in the book of Luke, chapter number 5. Luke, chapter number 5, and preaching on the subject, going on for God. Going on, going on. I love the song. Well, it's not one of my favorite, but I like that song anyway. It says, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Let's read our text in the book of Luke, chapter number 5, verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and they that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. So, Lord, we look to our Maker tonight. And I don't doubt for a moment, God is in our midst. There's a heavenly fragrance. Oh God, there's a sweetness from the heavenly world. Thank you, Lord, as we've read the scriptures tonight and how our hearts were just blessed and warmed by the good word of God. And I pray that you'd bless your dear people here tonight. I love your saints here, Lord. Dear God, these people, they mean a lot to me. And you know I pray for many of them on a very regular basis. And Lord, though Brother James prayed earlier, there's just a few of us yet. We know, Lord, that you're with us tonight. And there's no telling what the Lord would do here tonight. And God, what miracles could be wrought. And I don't mean that in a cheap way, but Lord, in a way that brings maximum glory to your name. And miracles in our hearts and lives. And Lord, what could be done as a result of this service reaching beyond these walls tonight. Now bless as we study the Word of God together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. My subject tonight is going on for God. And I think we find a real great scenario to bring this message out in this story that we've read tonight. But in way of introduction, I will refer you to the book of Hebrews 12, verse 1. It says there, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And then one other verse I'll read is Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Paul speaking, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy." I've got that highlighted. "And I finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." I really highlighted that in my notes and in my Bible, that Paul said that I might finish my course with joy. So many of us, we lose the joy in the course of our race. Somehow we keep plodding along. We keep on with the mully grubs, just dragging behind. But brother, joy is so vital. I'm not preaching on joy tonight, but it just sort of slipped in there. And I love to preach on joy. Man, that is so powerful in a Christian's life and so much the will of God. I could take you to so many passages where I could take you to one passage in John 17 where Jesus Christ actually prays for your joy. I could take you to 1 John where Paul or John writes that epistle and says, "These things write unto you that your joy may be full." And so many places, of course, the joy of the Lord is thy strength. And I guess that's probably one of the first things the devil attacks in our life is to try to get us to lose that sweet joy, that holy joy. Because if we can just get us down, if he can get us down and out, then we lose our effectiveness as a Christian, as a testimony of the power and the goodness and the grace of God. But anyway, that was sort of a side track there for a moment. And going on, brother, we need to get that settled in our hearts tonight. I'm going to go on. I'm going to go on. Others may turn their back. Others may throw in the towel. Others may call it quits. Brother, things may get rough. Oh, the church may go under severe persecution. But by the grace of God, by the grace of God, I'm going on.
Amen.
With Jesus Christ. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Let us not give up. The Lord tells us to be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain, which I'll use that verse again later on. But now, my first point, as we look in our text tonight, and in that we're going to go on with God, we've got to launch out. Jesus told, well, let's get back to our reading. These, it says, came to pass, people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret, saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And, of course, he enters into one of the ships, Simon's, and prayed him to thrust out a little from the land and sat down and taught the people. And then he, in verse 5, said, when he left speaking, Simon, launch out into the deep. Launch out. Now these men, they were fishermen. What was Jesus by way of trade?
Carpenter.
Should a carpenter tell fishermen how to fish? Typically, no. But this carpenter told the fishermen. Now these fishermen, they were veterans. They knew the trade. They had fished all night and caught nothing. Pretty discouraging, amen. And if I fish 2 hours and catch nothing, I'm discouraged. and I've done a lot of that. But now it's like it's, they're washing up their nets. Now, I've never been much of a commercial fisherman, but I did work on a commercial boat for a little while, a very short while, off the coast of Florida. And not out into the big waters, but to the inlet. They have inlet that runs all the way up and down the East Coast. And it's salt water. And we'd go out and fish all night. It was a big boat with a, what I call a big boat. I mean, when you've been on little paddle boats, you know, it doesn't take much to call big. But they had one of these 464 Oldsmobile engines back then, which, you know, that's, I mean, boats can use a whole lot more power than that, but that's pretty substantial for, anyway, it was a, I don't know the house big the ship was, but, you know, there was a crew of us. I don't remember how many guys were on the ship, but we'd fish all night, and we would bring in 3,000 to 4,000 pound of what you call bait fish for the most. And we got some game fish, but mostly we were bait fishermen. And, of course, we was always welcome for the good stuff to get on in the net. But we let that net out. We had 3/4 mile of net we let out into the waters. And then after, and that's the time to do net fishing like that is in the night. If you got a full moon, that's a problem. But we'd fish all night. At least sometime we'd come in early. But I know what it is to wash the nets. We'd have to pull the nets in and hose them down because those nets would get all the, you know, fish particles, guts, and all that fins on them, and the salt water had to be washed off or it would eat through the net. And so those nets had to be cared for. And how many of us feel like, hey, we're all washed up? We're just all washed up. Man, they're putting their nets up, all washed up. And you may feel like you're all washed up tonight, but that's not the end of the story. Amen. God will let us get there sometime where it feels like it's all over. Come on.
Right.
It's just all over. But I'm going to go on for God. Jesus says, launch out into the deep in broad open daylight with a net. And the fish have come in for the usually closer to shore to feed. And he's saying, launch out into the deep. He's a carpenter. He's going to tell these veteran fishermen that knows you don't do net fishing in the daytime. And you don't launch out into the deep in the daytime. He's going to tell them, yes. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts.
Yep.
My ways are not your ways.
Right.
And brother, we've got to have some faith. When you better let God call the shots in your life when it makes absolutely no sense. And that's another point later on. And let me put that on hold for right now. A time to launch out into the deep. Too many times we are, what I put down, shore-bound Christians. We want the boat to stay close to the shore. And I've put down some reasons why we might desire that. We like the shallow waters. We don't want to get deep into the Word of God. We don't want to get deep into the work of the Lord. We just sort of want to wait around a little bit. We don't want any danger. We don't want to take any risk. So just stay close to the shore. It's the place of security. It's the place, when you're out into the deep on a boat, way out into the deep waters, and then you've got some problems, sort of some disagreements. Guess what? You learn to work things out. But when you're right there at the shore, if you get mad at somebody and say, I'm going to go in the shore and go find me somebody else to fellowship with. So it sort of restricts who you're fellowshipping with. But and it's the security. There's, convenience of you might not like the kind of food that's on the boat. Well, I'm just going to go into the shore, and I'm going to go find me a McDonald's somewhere. Well, I hope you can do better than that. But anyway, so for these reasons, they might want to stay close to the shore. Security, fellowship, and freedom to go and come. But Jesus said, launch out. Another verse I will bring in right quick is Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance. You know, this Hebrews letter parallels with the Hebrew journey through the wilderness. And right when you get to chapter 6, it is the place of Kadesh Barnea, where they're to go on across to the other side. Let us go on into Canaan's land, on into perfection. But not laying again the foundation of repentance. But at Kadesh Barnea, the children of God decided, no, we're not going to go, and they backed off. And so for the next, you remember how many years they wandered in the wilderness? The next 40 years. They wander around the same territory, 40 years in the wilderness, going round in circles. I met some Baptists like that. They never went on into the place of victory. They never went on into the land of flowing with milk and honey. They didn't want to fight the battles of Canaan. They were afraid of the walls of Jericho and all this stuff, so they backed up, and they keep going around the same foundation, laying again the foundation of repentance and from dead works and faith toward God. Just keep on going around the same territory. Am I really saved? I'm really saved. And these just shallow doctrines that you should get settled in your life. Brother, we need to grow. Come on now, y'all talk to me. We need to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to be a Bible people. You understand that? A strong Bible people. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something real clear. Your Christian life will never, never, never outgrow your Bible life. This is food for your soul. And so many Baptist people are starving their souls. They're so anemic and so shriveled up because they don't nurture their faith. They just keep going around the same territory, always doubting and pouting. I wrote down some time ago that this writer said, I've never seen a happy doubter. I just like that. Was pretty curt right on the spot. Okay, into the deep. Into the deep. That's where you got to depend on God. Yeah. When you're right at the shore, if a storm comes up, whoop, we just get to the shore right in a hurry and go find some shelter. But out in the deep, brother, when the storms rage, you can't just run to the shore. You've got to call on God. You've got to say, oh, Lord, we're in trouble. We need help. Brother, God wants us to go out into the deep. I'm going to give you a good verse, and you might want to either look it up or make a note of it, that concerns going out into the deep. This in Psalms. It's in Psalms 107, verses 23 and 24. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, which is out in the deep, these see the works of the Lord. I mean, y'all do want to see God at work, don't you? You're not going to see the work of God in shallow waters. Some said you go out into the great waters, into the deep, and these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. That's what it says, in the deep. David Livingston, that great missionary to China, said, send me anywhere, only go with me. Lay any burden on me, only sustain me. Sever me from any tie, but the tie that binds me to your service and to your heart, O God. Another writer said one reason that why mature people stop growing, they stop growing and stop learning, is that they become less and less willing to risk failure. We need to take some holy chances. We need to get out of the comfort zone. Brother, be willing to lay our life on the line. Hudson Taylor, the great man of faith who founded China Inland Missions, said, unless there is an element of risk in our exploits for God, there is no need for faith. We want to live by human security, not by faith. You know, we've got our plan B's. Now, Lord, we want you, we're praying this, but if you don't, we've got plan B, plan C, plan D. We need to cast ourselves fully on the Lord and rely on Him. One more little note I'm going to read to you has to do with, say, sad will be the day for any man when he becomes satisfied with the life he is living, with the thoughts he is thinking, the deeds he is doing, when there is not beating at the doors of his soul a desire to do something greater, which he knows he was meant to do because he is a child of God. God didn't save you just to be an ornament of the church. Come on, come on. God didn't save you just to go to heaven. Right. If all it was just to go to heaven, why go ahead and take us? Yeah. Why leave us in this world of sorrow and trials and battles and problems? Right. If that's all there is, take us on. But no, there's a work to be done. There's a race to be won. There's something for you and me to do. Right. God save us from the love of ease. Woe unto them that are ease in Zion. So then, going on for God when it's against logical thinking. That's my second point. When there's no logic. We're so messed up thinking, well, if I can't figure it out, I can't do it. Years ago when I pastored down in deep South Florida, and this is only one story, but our church struggled financially. Now, sometime I was full-time with the church. I never did get paid real good, but I was full-time. We lived pretty poor, but that was nothing new for us. And a lot of times I work a side job. But I remember one time we were like, we're this great big old camp meeting up in North Florida. And we had agreed, now we're talking about a meeting that would run 400 people. We agreed as a church we're going to provide the food for one whole day of that meeting. Now that's a lot of food. Now we didn't have it. We did not have it. And when the next year, when it got time to get things together, I don't know how, to this day how it came in, but the food came in. We had more than enough as we took all that food to the camp. There was a time that we were right at 3 months behind on our mortgage payment. And there was a missionary, actually it was an evangelist, Jack Shuler. You ever know Jack Shuler? You've heard of Jack Shuler? He's been featured on Singing News magazine. The Shuler family used to travel, and a great guy. And I love to share his testimony sometime, at least an element of it. I can't testify for him. But we had Jack and his family come to our church. Well, their big Greyhound bus, I don't remember if they drove it to the church or not, but it broke down. The transmission had some problems. We were 3 months behind, right at 3 months. We hadn't got any threats yet, but we was bad shape financially. But we gave that man a big offering and gave another $100 to pay for that transmission. Now, I didn't, but I'm saying it was an extra $100 to help toward that transmission. And I can't tell you all. I don't know how that money came in, but it came in, and all 3 months of mortgage came in the same time.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. This peanoggin brain never figured it out, but you know what? I never tried to figure it out. It didn't matter to me. All I know was God was at work.
Amen.
So many things like that. Brother, you better learn to live by faith, not by human sense. Right. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't think things through. God gave us a brain, you know, some reasoning power. I'm not saying it's not right to think things through. But brother, when you get the green light to go for God, you don't wait till the arithmetic makes it right. You say, I'm going to go by faith, not by arithmetic. Praise God. Oh, brother. Logic will come in the voice of experience. Oh, we've done that before. That won't work. We've tried that again and again. We've knocked on all the doors in this community. Nobody wants Jesus. No use to try. Experience is the voice of logic that says just don't do it. Failure is the voice of logic. Well, we've tried. I wrote this down earlier. Learn from your failures, but don't quit because of your failures.
Amen.
Life is a life of failures. Man. Now, I want to tell you something. I know, Brother Layman, I don't have to use you from that. You're big enough to use. Now, I hope I'm not in danger using him for an example. But I bet he's never hit one wrong chord on the guitar. Have you ever hit a bad chord on the guitar?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you disqualify. Sister Charlotte, I have to use you. Have you ever hit a bad chord on the guitar? I didn't think you had. So you're supposed to cooperate. And But you know, she's never hit a bad note on the guitar. I bet Brother Brandon has. And you have. You've already admitted it. And guess what? I have. But not Miss Charlotte. And I know my wife has never. I mean, I've made a lot more mistakes on the guitar than she has. She's never made one. Isn't that something? She must be a lot better musician, right? God bless her, but when you don't do anything, you don't make any mistakes. And a lot of people don't do anything for God because they don't want to make any mistakes. Get back in your cradle and you serve your purpose. And you tried to serve your purpose, amen. God bless you, brother. He's a good picker on her, amen. Logic says, quit. I've had that experience. Quit. I've had failures trying to do what you're talking about. Circumstances. Man, the circumstances will not, they're not conducive to what you want to do. Man's wisdom is the voice of logic. But brother, when God says go, you go. When God says do, you do. That's going on for God. Well, we would let that 3/4 mile of dead out into the waters. A lot of times it was in a straight line. Other times we would put it in a circle. And then get the boat in the middle of that net and what they call drum those fish in. Get that boat going at high rate of speed right in the inside perimeter of that circle and drum, force those fish into the net. Well, anyway, I remember one such time, I mean, you know, we'd have to pull the net in. And, you know, I was the preacher. I was the preacher back then. They called me the preacher. And they would try not to cuss around me. And old William, he was the owner of that boat. But, and of course, I've always wore this leg brace. But they were good enough to give me a job on the boat and also a landscaping job as well. And I was pulling in the cork line on that net. And somebody else on the lead inside. And I said, man, there's nothing to this. I said, okay, preacher. So the next time they let me pull in the lead line. And I shut my mouth after that. And I really been on the cork side. Amen. Well, anyway, when logic says don't go on, I'm going to go on with God. Number three, when the load is great. These guys had fished all night. I've been there and done that many times. They've come in from fishing all discouraged. And guess what? They have an odor problem. Amen. You don't come in from an all-night fishing smelling good.
That's right.
And they're wore out, tired. They have spent, you know, it costs to go out fishing all night. And they hadn't made a dime. I mean, this was their livelihood. So it's not just, well, I was hoping to catch a fish. No, it's their livelihood. And man, there's just a lot of things to discourage them. The load is great. They're tired, worked all night and all these things. And then Jesus says, launch out into the deep. Boys, it's time to go fishing. They didn't even discuss it. They did not question the Lord. We're tired. We're experienced fishermen. We know this doesn't work by human standards, but the Lord said, go fishing. I believe God will give us the strength. I believe God will give us the help that we need. We're just going, all the other fishermen out there, they're going to be laughing at us, but we're going to go out. Because Jesus said to go forth, launch out into the deep. But Lord, we've toiled all night. We have toiled, not just slept all night, but toiled. We've worked. That is tiring work. And taking nothing, that's discouraging. But, you know, I will commend these guys that once they came in from that fishing trip, they didn't go home. They didn't look for the shower. They went straight to hear the Word of God. How about that? Some people say, I'm just too tired to go to church. I'm just too tired. I mean, I've been up all night. I'm just too tired. I wasn't even thinking about you just now. Amen. I hope you're not falling asleep over there. I worked at a jailhouse before and pastored. I worked all night, night after night. I've come in at 8 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning and got things together and went to church and taught Sunday school and preached I got home after eating a sandwich or something, a meal or whatever, and get home and rest for maybe 2 hours or so, and then have to be back at the church at 5 o'clock for a Bible study, 6 o'clock for a service, go back to work at 11 o'clock that night, work all night again. Brother, it's not easy to work all night and then go hear the Word of God. You ought to say a big amen right there. Amen. These guys, they went to church after being exhausted. They went to hear Jesus speak. They were hungry for the Word of God. They didn't have any fish, but man, they had the Word of God. Sometimes we just let tiredness get the upper hand in our lives. If you'll let tiredness come between you and God, the devil will see to it that you're tired. I mean, you will always be tired. I'll tell you what gives you energy, what you get interested in. You find energy in what you like. You know, you come home from work, kick back in the recliner and on a midweek service, and your wife or husband says, "Baby darling, we're going to church." I'm just too tired. I know God understands, the preacher might not, but God understands. I am wore plumb out. And then about 5 minutes after church starts, here comes your spouse again. "Darling, I got to run down to Walmart." "What? Did somebody say Walmart? Let's go. All of a sudden, your energy, your adrenaline kicked in, because that's what excited you. Brother, we need to get back to where Jesus excites our lives.
Right.
The Word of God. Man, you know, it's a sad day when you let your church life become a boring thing. It should never be boring to go to the house of God to worship. If you really become a worshiper, church will never be a bore.
Right.
Too tired. The family load, the financial load, the church load. Under great pressure. But God uses pressure. You ever think about the value of pressure? All right. Here we go again. Guitar. You're going to help us twice tonight. Now this won't take long, but I think I'll make a nice E chord. And now I'm going to make it again. I let off some of the pressure. I felt sorry for my guitar, so I have to retune this thing after a while. I better not try to play it for invitation now. But you see, the more I let off the pressure, I mean, what good is it? Pressure must be applied to get the music out.
Right.
And all of you know that not artificial diamonds, but real diamonds are made under extreme pressure. Coal turns into diamond because of the, megatons of pressure. You say, "God, get this pressure off of me." Hey, God's trying to get some music out of your life, and I don't mean necessarily a song, but music. He's trying to turn your life into a diamond for His glory, and He'll give you grace for the pressure. This guitar was made for the pressure that it takes. And God's making you for pressure.
Right.
Don't get rebellious toward God because there's some pressure on you. "Lord, tune me up. Let there be as much pressure as needed for you to get your purpose out of my life."
Right.
We want it easy. We want to just get the pressure off. I just want to take it easy. Just want to have it easy. Woe unto them that are at ease.
Right.
And Zion. Okay, here's my next point. When your labor seems in vain. You ever been there? Your labor. Nobody cares. Nobody's listening. Nobody's wanting God. Nobody cares about the church. I'm the only one. If you're not careful, you will get an Elijah attitude where he sat under the juniper tree all discouraged. I'm the only one left. I'm the only one. Well, guess what? You're not the only one. I'm not the only one. There are so many saintly souls out there that love God, that stand true to God. You say, man, our church is so small. Guess what? There's just hundreds of thousands of small churches, but Jesus loves small churches. Amen. And it seems like your labor is in vain. You say, well, this one's quit, that one's quit. It seems like in vain. And the devil wants you just to give up. Just to give up, call it quits. We got to go on.
Amen.
I referred this verse early in the service. I'm going to give it to you now, verbatim. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know what it means to abound? The word ah, just like ah millennium means no millennium. Takes the letter ah negates and many usages of it. And to say ah bound means take away the boundaries. Take away the boundaries and expand the work on for the glory of God. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much in this, I've had to use this many times, Brother Brandon. I've had to use it many times. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I'm going to tell you what, sometimes it'll look like it, it'll feel like it. Others will tell you, well, it's all in vain. What good are you doing? And the devil will surely come along, hey, man. You might just call it quits. It's all in vain. You're doing no good. But I'm going to go on with God. I'm going to keep on giving on when it seems like my labor is in vain. They're washing their nets. It's all over. A sign of quitting and giving up. Frustration, no fish. A place of despair. What's the use? Despondent. Well, my last point, I'm going to go on because the Lord's blessing did come. So Jesus said, launch ye out into the deep. Lord, we've toiled all night, taken nothing. Nevertheless, we better get that in our life, a nevertheless. Lord, it just seems like it's all to no avail. Nevertheless, I'm going to do what you said. I will let down the net. And when he had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Now, this is, you see, I got education out on this boat that I was on for a little while. I always wondered before this time, if their net break, I mean, you know, how could they get the fish? So I was out there one night. That net stretched out across the waters. So I asked William. Now, William, he was a heathen from the word go. He was a good bit older. I mean, he was actually an old man. I was just a young whippersnapper back then. And I asked William. I said, hey, I'm just curious about something. William, what are we going to do if the net breaks? He said, preacher. He said, that's no problem. We just go to the buoy at the other end. I said, okay, I just wondered. And pull the net in from the other end. So it was such a great amount of fish, the net break. So here's the little rundown of this. The blessing of the Lord came with fish enclosed. Their faith was increased. Their fellowship was inspired. And their following intensified. They forsook all and followed the Lord. Brother, they saw what God can do when it looked like, what's the use of going on? But I charge you tonight, go all the way. Go on, let us go on with God. Let us stand now and offer prayer tonight and get some music. Now, Lord, that we would not be weary in well-doing. They would not turn astray to the left or to the right. That we would not be doubtful and discouraged. Would have faith in God tonight. I pray you bless this great church. Lord, these dear saints here tonight, may there be a refreshing in every one of these dear souls. Give us a vision and quicken us in the way and the things of God. Help us to be faithful. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let the Lord have his way tonight.